Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Melbourne, 1974. Leaving Hong Kong for Melbourne, Australia. Prabhupada wanted me to remain in Hong Kong and preach, and I wanted to satisfy him. He gave me so much encouragement and mercy, but by the end of 1974, April, after almost 4 years of struggle, I could no longer continue. Both Jagatarini and I felt oppressed by Hong Kong's materialism. I was discouraged by the apathy of both the Chinese and the Indians, and I had been more or less alone in Asia without devotee association for 4.5 of my 6 years as Prabhupada's initiated disciple. It just became too much. I decided to leave. Prabhupada was shocked when I wrote him. He worried about the future of ISKCON Hong Kong as well as my spiritual life. But my mind was set. My wife and I would go to the West. At first, we thought we would go to America, but then we decided to go to Melbourne, the home of my in-laws. We left Devaprastha, an old college friend in charge of the temple, and fled Hong Kong at the end of May. We traveled first to Thailand, then to Singapore, and finally on to Melbourne by mid-June. Prabhupada was due to arrive in Melbourne a week later. Part of our reason for choosing Melbourne was to see Prabhupada. My comment. Failing to fulfill the order of one's spiritual master is extremely unpleasant, and Prabhupada did not accept my offered list of reasons for leaving Hong Kong. I can offer no actual explanation for leaving, but my lack of spiritual strength and determination to fulfill Prabhupada's order. One devotee who went to the West Point Military Academy in the United States many years ago, he told me that one of the first things they learned was how to say, "No excuse, sir." So, no excuse, Srila Prabhupada. A hand from above in Melbourne. The kirtan began in the airport long before Prabhupada's plane arrived. When Prabhupada stepped from the passageway into the arrival lounge, the devotees went mad. Chanting, dancing, and crying, they crowded around Prabhupada as clouds cover a mountain. Prabhupada seemed to glide down the airport hallways. He and the devotees chanted and danced through the carpeted airport waiting rooms and passageways. Life suddenly descended into the stay at Melbourne Airport. I couldn't approach Prabhupada because he was surrounded by so many devotees. So I sped ahead down the stairs and waited at the bottom of the long escalator. Prabhupada has to ride this escalator to get downstairs, I thought, and the devotees must allow him to go first. The kirtan grew louder, and the devotees approached the escalator platform. After a moment's pause, Prabhupada stood on a moving step and began descending. He noticed a lone figure positioned near the bottom and smiled. I spontaneously reached out, and he affectionately grasped my hand. My comment, where there's a will, there's a way. Prabhupada's servant later informed me that Prabhupada had remarked in the car, "Birijana was there. Did you see him?" Meet Prasad. My wife and I were staying at her parents' home in East Brighton, a suburb of Melbourne. Prabhupada's quarters, a small one-story house near Brighton Beach, was nearby. At our first meeting, he demanded, "Why have you left? You are doing well. Don't be fooled. No one is there now. You are now not even living in the temple." In the course of my short replies, I mentioned that although we were not living in the temple, we were offering our food and eating prasad. Prabhupada's retort was sarcastic. "What kind of prasad? Meat prasad?" My comment. Prabhupada manifested his concerns for our spiritual lives with his piercing words. He also indicated the risk we accepted by living with and sharing cooking facilities with non-vegetarians, even though they were affectionate relatives. Women want gold. While we sat in his room, Prabhupada mentioned how modern materialistic culture destroys the finest sentiments of man. Husbands are not even able to properly maintain their wives. Yet people are fooled into thinking that technological progress is increasing their standard of living. Prabhupada then offered an example. Women have a natural liking for golden jewelry. Now no one can afford. So the husband should provide his wife with nice gold jewelry. Then the wife will be satisfied and happy, will act as a good wife. A few months before, I had for the first time purchased Jagatarini gold earrings. I mentioned that fact to Prabhupada, implying that I was pleasing him by properly taking care of my wife. Prabhupada looked at me and dismissed my comment. She is not interested in those things. My comment. Prabhupada describes life in more God-conscious times in the teachings of Queen Kunti. The grains are abundant, the trees full of fruits, the rivers flowing nicely, the hills full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. What more could one want? The oyster produces pearls, and formerly people decorated their bodies with pearls, valuable stones, silk, gold, and silver. But where are those things now? Now, with the advancement of civilization, there are so many beautiful girls who have no ornaments of gold, pearls, or jewels, but only plastic bangles. So what is the use of industry in slaughterhouses? As abundant life, full of natural opulence, satisfies the mind, but what satisfies a materialist has nothing to do with what satisfies a devotee. When Prabhupada commented that Jagatarini was interested only in Krishna, not in gold earrings, she later told me her immediate mental reaction was, "I'm not." Although Prabhupada had glorified the opulence of previous ages for just seconds before, he was unimpressed by my purchase of gold earrings for my wife and insisted we acknowledge the ultimate standard, advancement in Krishna consciousness. Taking and giving. Prabhupada's strong words continued for another 30 minutes. By the end, I was crushed. When it was time to leave, I offered him my humble obeisances. He said gently, "If you think Krishna has given you a little intelligence, you should act on it." My comment. Prabhupada, like a doctor administering medicine, shattered my confidence and then quickly restored it with the directive to follow my Krishna-given intelligence. Prabhupada thus presented me with a guideline for the immediate moment and for the rest of my life. Okay, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.